Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 12th day of October, Anno Domini 2024, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Here comes the news. But before the news... Excuse me.
Get choked up about it, don't you?
I get choked up. Two important things. First, whenever he says alongside Dave Enright and Steve Ray, I envision the three of us with our arms locked, walking down a western street.
Abbey Lane. Yeah. Like the Beatles, right. Going across Abbey Lane.
Tumbleweeds going by, bad guys waiting to shoot it out with us. And the other thing is, before we get to the news, it is that time once again. We are in a pledge drive. Twice a year, we come to you, hat in hand, and we admit it. Our operating budget has grown, and all of that is due to licensing fees getting bigger, and so we need your help.
The streaming and everything else that's done here.
Yep. You can help us out by giving us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl. She will be happy to take down your information and pass you on to us. You can go to our website at jazz901.org and hit the Donate Now button. And this year, for the first time, you can text the word GIVE, G-I-V-E, to 585-205-8887.
Wasn't it all uppercase?
All lowercase or camelcase, mixed case.
Case doesn't matter? Okay.
Mixed. Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me. I don't know if it'll matter to Google Voice, but it certainly doesn't matter to me.
One thing before you...
I don't see case.
Before you get into the news, I should mention, since we're talking about celebrations and all that, Harry Legg just had a birthday.
Happy birthday, Harry.
It was Thursday. For folks that don't realize it, Harry has been our intro voice.
Yep.
For over 25 years.
Now, I will interject that I do not believe anybody exists with the name Harry Legg, but okay.
Because of that, he changed his radio name to Scott James.
Yeah. But, him and I, like I say, we've been friends for decades and that, and we always come to birthdays. He remembers mine, I remember him, and I'm always calling him up going, "Hey, Legman!" And he'll go, "There's Dave."
So he also does the voiceover for the Rocketry podcast that I listen to.
Oh, he does a lot of different...
I don't know how... Well, so that's... The Rocketry Show podcast is done by a guy named Cornelius Gould, who's a radio engineer, designed half the equipment we have in the studio here. And so his initials are CG, which is center of gravity, which is a big thing in the rocket world.
Right, right.
So he probably knows Harry through the radio station, too.
Yep. It probably does.
But happy birthday, Harry, and thank you for the use of your voice for so many years, my friend.
Well done.
I'll post a link to his website, so if anyone else wants his great voice and other stuff, you can hire him.
I mean, he's a professional. He's done it for major concerts and groups.
I often get him mixed up with Shadow Stevens. Their voices are
very similar.
Yep, he's got the pipes.
All right, while you give us a call and make a pledge, I will read the news. There's a bunch of Windows 11 stuff that's going on. This week we're going to highlight just a few of the things that have been happening. Let's start with the absolute and utter failure of the disk cleanup utility to actually clean up your disk. Okay. It is not uncommon to find Microsoft's OS leaving chunky update files behind that you have to manually clean up yourself. Normally, you just run the disk cleanup utility, no problem. Some users of the new Windows 11 24H2 update, however, have been left with a chonky 8.63 gigabyte update cache that simply refuses to be deleted. Disk cleanup won't get it. Storage cleanup doesn't get it. Deleting the file by hand doesn't work. Microsoft says they're aware of the issue and that a fix will be coming along just any day now, honest. Now, I get it. In these days of multi-terabyte SSDs, 9 gig doesn't seem like much, but it's sloppy. Sloppy is not something you want in an operating system. And if they miss that, what else did they miss?
And a lot of new laptops, especially, only have like a 256 gig SSD in them.
Right.
So we have to worry about disk size again.
Right, we do. Right. Oh, wait. The other thing we have to, that they may have missed is that there are reports that the Windows 11 24H2 update is killing people's internet connections, both Ethernet and Wi-Fi. They connect, but do not get network access and get an IP address starting with 169, resulting in no internet or network connection. 169 is a local network only, so you could see other computers on your network, your local network, but you can't get out through the router. It's an unroutable thing. So, updating the drivers and firmware and resetting the network settings doesn't seem to work. In addition, some users report that their Windows 11 systems were still able to connect to the internet without issue after the first restart following the installation of 24H2, but started experiencing internet connectivity issues after the next restart. So far, there's only one solution at this point. Undo the update and roll back to Windows 11 23H2. A rollback appears to solve the issue in most cases, but there's also a chance that this workaround won't work. So, roll the dice, take your chances. Of course, this is assuming that the Windows 11 24H2 update installs at all. Some users are reporting that Windows Update gets stuck in the update process at 40%, while others say their updates get stuck somewhere between 90 and 95%. After waiting several minutes without progress, Windows undoes the update and tries again, and again, and again. And then there are the annoying little nitpicky things like disappearing mouse cursors, and bigger things like OpenSSH no longer working, or even the PC simply crashing. All in all, it might be best to wait on this one until, say, 2026. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows 11 update and patches causing problems. Your choices are, what else is new? I haven't had any problems. Oh, I've had problems. I haven't installed them yet, and, Windows. So far, we've got 27 votes, and what else is new is leading with Windows not far behind. You can vote in the poll. It's real easy. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, and vote in the poll. And, of course, if you'd like to donate to the station, if you'd like to donate to the station or give us a call for a question, it's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. There's just a lot going on with this particular Windows update, and
it's a hot mess.
Well, the real problem, of course, again, it comes down to the fact that there are no two Windows systems that are alike. They all have slightly different hardware, slightly different software installed on them outside
different
of Windows.
Different configurations, video cards, motherboards. I mean, it's not like the old days, back in the 80s, when you only had, say, one motherboard manufacturer, one video card. They didn't have mice then, and they didn't have a lot of the peripherals that you have nowadays.
Right. You had no sound, or you had Turtle Beach.
Yep.
Those were your choices.
Yep.
But, yeah, and so we get it. There are a lot of things that can go wrong, which means that there are a lot of things that will go wrong.
And so, they will.
Yeah.
It's just Murphy's Law.
But, you know, right now it's relaxed. They, you know, for all that we hit on Microsoft, they do get it right eventually. So we just have to be patient and wait for eventually.
They're like a squirrel at wintertime. You know, they, right. Every squirrel will find a nut eventually.
Exactly. All right. To the phones. Our first call is Dave from Brighton, New York. What's up, Dave?
Well, you probably covered this so many times that you would maybe rather move on to something less often requested. I have been imprisoned by Microsoft and OneDrive. I have files that are on the OneDrive that I can't even access because I don't know what the hell they mean by I'm not online. And so some of my files up there are simply inaccessible. I would like to get all of my files and folders and whatever the hell is up in OneDrive, get them back on my computer, and shut off OneDrive entirely.
You have to do it in a very specific sequence or things get screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend at our airplane picnic, I had like three people come up to me and say, what the hell's wrong with OneDrive? Where'd all my files go? So without you intentionally knowing it, OneDrive often gets installed through a Microsoft update or from Microsoft Office.
By default.
By default. And what it does is it claims to back up all of your data to Microsoft's cloud, basically. So it changes your home directory, where all of your files are,
mm-hmm.
And puts it on OneDrive. Okay, it's in another place, but if you're not online, it can't bring it back. And so we've seen people, I don't want OneDrive, so they delete OneDrive. Mm-hmm. And all of their files disappear because OneDrive was syncing it back to their computer.
Yep.
So you have to turn off OneDrive first, and I'm posting a link for it now, and then you can uninstall it, but there's almost no way to stop it from reinstalling again on the next Microsoft update.
Mm.
So it's one of those things where you have to be really careful reading the messages, because they claim it's a security feature, backing up your data. And so if you go into the Windows security setting, there'll be a big red warning that you're not secure because you're not copying all your files to OneDrive.
Well, and plus it's a big money scam for them, to be honest with you.
You're going to run out of space and have to pay for more storage.
They don't give you a squat for space, and then all of a sudden you're getting these annoying messages down the lower right-hand corner. You're running out of OneDrive space. Click here to get more space. So your files are backed up.
Yep. And it isn't a backup. It's a sync.
Pay for that then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's their whole deal.
They give you two gigs free.
That's, 2 gigs?
That's nothing. Maybe three.
Google at least gives you 15.
Right. Yeah. Google's the best, and Microsoft is the worst.
So what does it come down to? That it's so complicated to get it done properly that I really would have to get somebody here to help me that knows what they're doing.
Well, if you follow the instructions I posted from Microsoft, the easiest solution is to unlink it. See the steps below, and it's 27 steps.
And that's the easiest.
Yeah. If you knew the dummy that you're talking to, you maybe would advise otherwise.
No, you're just out of practice. And what I would advise...
I was never in practice.
Well...
Yeah,
Microsoft's going to get you there. And what I would suggest is you take follow Steve's steps, look at that list, and copy it and print it off. That way, down the road, if Microsoft, which will inevitably return it back on for you, whether you want it on or not, you can then proceed to go back to those steps because you've gotten them written down. And do it all over again.
And where do I access these?
On soundbites.org. It's under the links I heard about on the show.
Okay.
One of the things I might suggest is it talks you how to unlink the PC so it stops syncing to the cloud and then quitting OneDrive. I'd almost say don't uninstall it because then Microsoft won't reinstall and turn it back on again automatically. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yep.
Well, they don't have to turn it back on if it's already on.
Well, you can leave it on your machine, but
the
turned
software
off.
Turned off. Yeah,
yeah, because what it's doing is what it's basically it's dumb too, in that when it goes to do say Microsoft does one of their updates, they're going to just say, oh, yeah, this software is there. It doesn't check whether it's actually active or not active because depending on when it's doing the update.
Okay.
So, like Steve said, yeah, leave it there. Just don't let it sync.
And these instructions on this play at this place on Soundbites says how to get back the files that are already up there.
It should. When you unlink the PC, it should re-download everything back to your computer
should.
That isn't already.
Should.
Yeah.
It's Microsoft.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a whole different should, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Should have been sorry.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your advice. I will go on to Soundbites and see what I can do.
Okay.
That's soundbites.org, bites with a Y.
Right, with a Y. Yep.
Got it.
Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We would like to thank our friend Al Al? Al? who has generously donated. He's a renewing member. We are in a pledge drive. This station has been on the air for 50 years. And it's all due to you folks. The reality is that, you know, when we say we're member supported, we ain't kidding. We don't get corporate sponsorships. We don't get government money. We don't get state money. We don't get anything. Well, the money that keeps this station alive comes from you. You keep it alive because you like the programming that's here, whether it's just sound bites or it's you know, sound bites and polka, or it's jazz all week long, whatever it is, you have found a real reason to come and listen to this station. And if you'd like to keep it alive and keep it running, we need your help. So you can go to jazz901.org, hit that big donate now button, and join us as a member of the station.
Go to the page. You can bask in the glory of the 70s era auto car radio with the wood grain veneer.
One thing, what we've been,
because that was what it was 50 years ago, right?
And what we've been here 15 years, so that's got to say something about that you folks care about keeping us on the air. Because if you know, we didn't get the support, Rob would have dropped us in a hot New York minute.
Right.
Because this is a jazz station, folks. And, you know, listen, all week you're going to hear nothing but music. And then all of a sudden, on a Saturday, when 90% of the community heads off, right in the middle of the day, right at high noon, we're coming on the air and doing, a talk show. About computers,
no less.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, you talk about sticking your neck out, but you know what? Our supporters have been there, and we need you guys to step up one more time and just donate whatever you can afford. You know, we don't ask for a lot, and we give up every Saturday to be here to answer your questions and help inform and entertain.
We do have multiple. Sorry, go ahead.
I was saying many local businesses also underwrite jazz and specific shows, and many businesses will match your pledge. I posted a link to the Jazz website that shows businesses that match your pledge. So if you work for one of these businesses and you donate to Jazz, let them know, and they'll match your pledge to us.
And there are a number of levels at which you can become a member. This year, of course, we have the $50 Golden Anniversary level. Get it? It's our 50th anniversary. So $50. That's 14 cents a day. Even if this is the only show you watch, it's 96 cents a week. Surely we're worth 96 cents a week. And don't call me Shirley unless it's Steve's wife. There's the $90 and 10 cent sponsor level. If you're interested in some of the benefits of membership, there's the enhanced Jazz 90.1 member card plus, which is available at the $90 and 10 cent level or above. Trust me when I tell you, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. You get your pledge back in the first couple of uses.
Yeah. No question. Oh, and by the way, it's not just local. My daughter went to Disney World recently and used it there. So you can, you know, you got to set it up ahead of time. You go on a website and say, I'm going to here and this is, and get me. But you can do that. And there's shirts and there's hats and there's a ceramic coffee mug and there is the portable USB charger and there's the beautiful Soundbites tumbler, which keeps cold beverages cold and hot beverages hot. I don't know how it knows to do that, but it does. And that's only available for a limited time. There's the fleece. There's the wireless phone charger. I think I already mentioned that. There's the full zip fleece. There's the black T-shirt. There's the hood. I mean, come on.
Plenty of stuff to pick from.
Right. And the big thing is, at the right membership level, and of course we have a tote bag. Heaven forfend we do not have a tote bag. Mm. We have a tote bag. But the point here is that not only can you help keep this station alive, you can help keep this show alive, and you can show that you keep this show alive by wearing our merch. And all you have to do is either go to the website, jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, or give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Talk to the talented and lovely Cheryl. Or, of course, if you don't like talking to a human and you don't want to get online, but you got your phone in your hand because God knows it never leaves it, you can text the word GIVE to 585-205-8887, and it will give you instructions on how to become a member. And the more members we have, the longer we get to stay on the air in terms of months and years. And that's on you. So if you want to see this show continue, if you want to see this station continue to host this show, if you want to see this station continue, please pledge now.
Because, you know, we enjoy doing this, folks. You know, granted, we've been doing it now for 35, going into our 35th year. And that's 35 years.
I had hair when we started this.
I think all of
mine
our hair was
a lot fuller. I didn't
and
have
none of us were gray.
And none of us were gray.
Mine used to be dark, dirty blonde.
Dirty blonde.
When I started.
Mine was just dirty.
Yeah. But, I mean, you've got to total that up, folks. 35 years of Saturdays that we've been coming here, and other stations, granted, but we've been here for 15 years of Saturdays, coming to you from 12 to 2 and answering your computer questions. And we've gone through, you know, all of us. We started back with the old 286s and worked our way on up. And now, as you well know, most of our phone calls are coming in that they're having problems with their phones or their tablets or their laptops, because that's the way it's going now. You don't go into stores now and see, you know, the big box, big computers and all that other. Everybody's walking around with it in their hand. And we've adapted to that. When you call in, we can find the answers to help solve it, whether it's on the phones or the tablets or, you know, a variety of things. And we also get into the Raspberry Pi, which a lot of folks never even knew existed. That is a very cheap and, in, you know, easy to use computer that you can put Linux on and have a lot of fun, and not spend much money.
Right. I remember back in the day, it was all command line stuff. It was all, how do I connect my printer with my RS-232 cable, my Centronics cable.
And SCSI.
And SCSI. And then we had this newfangled gizmo called the Macintosh.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell was that all about? And then there was this mouse thing. And all this stuff that was new and different, and now it's phones and it's online storage and it's, you know, we've tried to keep up with everything, and that's all because you have kept us here offering you this advice. One of the things that we do that so few other places do, and I'm trying to be careful here, we have no axe to grind, and we have no spiffs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find a solution through us, you can be pretty well guaranteed that it's the best solution for you. We don't make any money from answering your questions.
Nope.
We certainly don't get anybody, you know, giving us things for answering your questions. We answer your questions because you deserve the right answer.
And you know
you
what?
Deserve the right answer, and that's what we're here to give you. And we deserve you to pledge 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. Text GIVE to 585-205-8887.
And you know what else you don't get? Still don't get a paycheck.
What now?
I know you're sitting, so I knew you could handle it. We're still not going to get a paycheck.
It has been my assumption for 35 years that my wife has been taking that paycheck.
And it's still going to continue.
Okay, good. Good to know. Good
like
to know.
Like most of the hosts and DJs here, we are volunteers.
Yeah, we are that. Thank you.
The staff is very limited in the number of actual employees, folks. You'd be surprised. Like I say, we work out of a little corner here at Olympia High School. You know, they've got the signs up in that so you can follow it. But if you ever came to one of our parties.
Our live event last night, really great. Bill Tiberio and the other band members were really great.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, maybe we should take a break. What do you think? All right, like we are finally going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, who's clearly older than he thinks he is, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Cheryl, and you. It is 32 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Well, dang it, I keep forgetting. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 37 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we get back to the calls, I want to thank Sandra for her generous donation. I guess I can read this. In memory of Don Nichols. Thank you, Sandra. That's very, very sweet. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Fairport, New York. What's up, Larry?
So, I have to ask a question, and I hope I don't stir up a lot of controversy here, but how come Apple doesn't like the IEEE? How come they don't follow any of the standards with USB? I really don't understand that. And I had a great example of it this week. I had a large video file from my wedding that was on an Apple phone, and we couldn't get it off. However, on an Android phone, It had this same large video file. I took a USB-C drive, plugged it into the bottom, transferred it onto the C drive, then took the onto the jump drive, put that into my computer. You know, it fit right in there because it was an IEEE USB-C connection there, and I was able to transfer the file right into my computer. No fuss, no muss. So I guess I'm just wondering why does Apple feel that it has to have they ever made a statement as to why they don't follow the IEEE standards?
They're on the standards body. As far as I knew, they did. You can do the same thing.
It depends on the device. There have been, you know, there were the non-standard standards.
Yeah.
Right? Like Thunderbolt.
Well, that was IEEE 1394.
Right, but not one that anybody else used.
Sony did for their cameras.
Yeah.
For high speed video
so
in the day. Yeah.
They are following the letter of the law,
and
just not necessarily the spirit.
And you can do the same thing with an iPhone on a Mac or Windows. I'm not sure where
it depends on the model, right? I mean, some of the older models.
Well,
don't do
for the last 10 years or so.
Right. But any new model, you should be able to plug a USB-C.
Or Lightning in the earlier days.
Drive into it and copy files off it.
Or connect it to your computer and copy files through the Files app.
Right. But you're right. While Apple does follow IEEE standards, it's not necessarily the same standards that everybody else follows.
I think what your comment really means is the iPhone is not a USB mass storage device. which is correct. Right. It is not. And it's not intended to be.
Okay. Okay.
But that doesn't stop you from copying files off of it.
Right.
Right. Right. I guess the whole point was that it just seems like the things for Apple tend to be very unique, from a hardware standpoint. And yeah, they may be an IEEE standard, but they're the only ones who use it. So that kind of defeats the purpose, you know. But
right. And that's one of the things that the European Union gigged them for, right? The fact that they were not using the same thing that everybody else was using. So they've been fined for that multiple times and are beginning to change.
Right.
Well, one of the early stories about why they went to Lightning is because USB-C wasn't ready yet. And mm-hmm. so they went to Lightning. And the switch from the 30-pin dot connector to Lightning was such an uproar about, I got to buy all new dongles, that when USB-C was ready a couple of years later, Apple waited another 10 years before they switched to USB-C. And people are all up in arms. They have to buy new dongles again. So they could have done it back when USB-C started getting popular. In fact, it was interesting. USB-C was an Intel standard. USB period was an Intel standard that nobody used until Apple put it in their iMacs in 1998. And then everyone started making USB devices because that was the only way to get anything in and out of an Apple. Mm-hmm. And Apple started with USB-C in 2015. It was only in the last couple of years that everything is now USB-C. And a lot of machines have A's and C's on them. But we're back to, if you haven't replaced your 20-year-old hard drive, you're going to need a USB-A adapter on your new computer. Although it is more common for PCs to have A and C together. On the Apple, it's more common to be C only. Eventually, we'll start seeing PCs be C only. I've seen a couple of them like that already.
My laptop here is old enough that it does not have USB-C.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can get jump drives that have USB-A on one side and USB-C on the other.
Yep.
So you can plug them into dang near anything, unless I suppose it's USB-B.
B was the peripheral end. So your printer had a B on it, your hard drive had a B on it. That was the bigger square one. Then there was a Super B connector, which was little tiny and breaks so easily. I hate it.
But that's the point, Larry. They are standard. They're not necessarily always the same standard as everybody else.
Because one of the things that I really like about the computer business, in the old days when I used to tear computers apart, you could get a hard drive from another computer, and it fits right in. The holes line right up, and the little screws go in, and everybody uses the same size screws, and they all look... It was really wonderful, and I think that that's... That whole business of standardization is really important, and it reduces costs for everybody.
We used to be able to buy PC cases for $85, including the power supply,
right?
And it came with a 15-day warranty,
right? But nowadays, if you want to work on a Mac, apparently every Mac, not every model, every Mac has a different Torx screwdriver.
There's three or four.
Yeah.
But what has been happening in the last couple of years in both the Mac world and the PC world is the system on a chip. Chromebooks are like that, too, where mm-hmm. the CPU, the GPU, the RAM, and the storage are all on one chip, which makes it much cheaper to build and much, much faster to operate. But it also means you can't replace the hard drive when it dies, because there isn't a hard drive. It's just chips on the board.
Right. Right, yeah, it's like a fused machine, all one piece,
right.
which you don't have to deal with connections at that point, which is a wonderful thing too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm been in the manufacturing business for many years, and you know the standards really do save you when you're like screw threads and all the material standards and things that are out there. So, and I just wondered if it was a corporate thing. It does sound like. Like you say, that their Apple is a big part of the business, and so they're definitely got a seat on the IEEE board. So sometimes you're saying what it is the rest of the world's catching up to Apple, and sometimes Apple's catching up to the rest of the world.
Right.
Yep.
So,
it's been that way for years.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we would also like to thank these generous people who have donated and become members of Jazz 90.1. William and Francis and Ed and Martin have joined Sandra and Al, and we'd like to thank each and every one of them for their donations. Again, we are in a pledge drive, and you can donate easily, super easily. You're all computer geeks. For God's sake, go to jazz901.org, click the Donate Now button, and donate. You know that when you see it, it's secure, and you can safely put your information in. You understand that. And so go ahead and do that. And you can, and if you don't remember how to do it, you can always text the word give to 585-205-8887.
And you can also donate from the app, and you all have the app on your phone.
And you all have the app, so you can donate from the app. In fact, you know what? It's hard to not donate. For heaven's sake, how have you not donated already? It's practically crawling into your lap and begging you. And don't forget, you can also become a Jazz-O-Matic member. And what a Jazz-O-Matic member means is that we take a minimum from you every month, minimum of $10, but you decide what the amount is, and then that comes out of your credit, credit card or where however you pay every month, with your permission, of course. And then you know, it's a small bite, not a big bite, but it ends up being a big bite for us. And so that's always a really, really good way to do it. And again, if you want to get that one of those great shirts, there's the $120 level, which is only $230 a week, 33 cents a day. And again,
you missed a decimal point there.
What did I say?
$120 level is only $233 a week.
$2.30 a week. I beg your pardon. I missed the decimal point entirely there. Yeah.
We'll take the $200 a week if you want.
If you want to pay us $230 a week, we will not say no. The customer is often right.
Rob will come over and mow your lawn for that.
Right. Except your mic is not on, so nobody heard that.
Rob will come over and mow the lawn for that.
Exactly right. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Rochester, New York. What's up, Mark?
Well, I called you last week for some help about using OpenSSL.
Yeah, OpenSSH.
Yes, and you folks were good enough to put up a site that I should look at, and I did. And it seems nothing worked, by the way, on OpenSSL. So what happened was a couple people from that site had mentioned go to GPG.
Right.
Okay, so far so good. So I made an honest attempt to work at that. So I tried something really easy. I tried running a hash, a digest, and that didn't fly either. And I copied that stuff off from a number of tutorials as well, their manual, etc. So I'm kind of wondering, what am I really into here?
Well, first, what error messages do you get?
Basically, it doesn't understand the command.
There you go. I knew that was going to be it. The problem is you have not installed OpenSSL on your computer.
Well, I do have OpenSSL on the computer.
Not if it doesn't understand the command.
Or are you getting a syntax error, or are you getting a command not found error? Or
can you read us the actual error?
I didn't have that written down. But it just says basically, you know, it doesn't understand the
command. Right. So if it's a command not found error, you don't have the right command installed. If it's a parameter error, you're using the parameters wrong. If it's a syntax error, you typed the parameter improperly. So the exact error message would help know exactly why it's not working.
I see. Okay, well, in that case, I'll have to go back and take a look at that.
Yes, give us the exact error that you're getting, and then we'll be better able to help you. I apologize that we can't.
No, that's all right.
All right.
That I understand. Well, listen, thank you very much, and I'll stay in touch.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
You too. Whenever you're going to call, please... Give us the error message.
The exact error. And
the exact error message.
So many times at work, you know, I've said, well, what It's not working. What happened to the dry? Nothing. Okay. Is there anything on the screen? Yeah, an error message. Well, something happened. You got an error message. Please yeah. tell me what that error message is.
Right. The big thing, the first step of troubleshooting is write down the error message. We'll always ask you what that is. And we need you to know what that is. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Marcy from Rochester, New York. What's up, Marcy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My husband's listening downstairs, and I'm listening upstairs. And while I've been waiting to get on the air, I have a second question because I muted you, and so I wouldn't have that problem. And my computer keeps bringing you back on about every minute or so. You must have some sort of refresh system, or do I have some problem here that's causing my muted sound to come back on?
Well, let's first start with the fact that your computer clearly has better taste than you do.
No. Not at all. You're part of our Saturday ritual.
Thank you. So you mute it and it comes back?
How are you listening?
Through my computer speaker.
Right, but from the website, from the app, from the iPad, from the
laptop computer.
Right, yeah, but where? The Jazz website, the YouTube website?
It's your website.
The Facebook website?
Not Facebook, no, okay. Just your regular website.
Jazz901.org /listen?
Right.
Okay, that has a refresh, and so yes, it will refresh. So it also depends on where you muted it.
I muted it on the taskbar sound.
Yeah, if you mute it in the stream, then it will stay muted.
Okay, all right. Anyhow, I've managed to shut that off, and it doesn't seem to be interfering. So before I ask my question, I will make a recommendation. Given the reminiscing about the old days of computers, this weekend on C-SPAN 2, the History Channel, they have, I think, 3 repeats of this wonderful Real America, R-E-E-L, about Captain Grace Hopper on the future of computers. If you have not seen this, it is absolutely mesmerizing and just wonderful.
And what channel is that on?
That's C-SPAN 2, which on Saturdays is called the History Channel. And it will repeat again tonight at 10:10, and it's an hour and a half, so that means you'd be missing Saturday Night Live and whatever else. But I believe at any point you can go to their website and stream it whenever you want to. But it is wonderful. I guess I was sort of familiar with her, but not really. Is she a name that you revere and her history is something you
Yeah, absolutely.
You know so well?
She was an amazing human being.
Mm-hmm. And if anyone has a nanosecond from Grace Hopper, I really want to see one. I'd love
exactly.
to own one.
Well, she shows one on this film.
Yep.
It's 10:10 tonight. Or you can, I think, stream. I'm sure you can stream it from C-SPAN 2 at any time on the History Channel. Now my question. You recommended perhaps 4 months ago when I wanted a way to print out directories. You recommended Opus whatever it is. Directory Opus. And I kind of like it, but it's a little clunky. So although it sounds old-fashioned, I have some fairly complicated files and folders and whatever, and I would like to have an old-fashioned printout, and I know I could go with screen print in some strange ways, but that's sort of chunky. Do you remember recommending Directory Opus?
Yes. What version of Windows are you running?
10.
Yeah.
Holding back, trying not to go to 11, but I guess we will soon.
Yeah, so you want to print the listing of an individual directory or the directory tree?
Could do either one if you have a wonderful suggestion for doing both, but I don't want to have to paste together a bunch of pages. And I may not print them all out really, but I want to look at them for sure in a comprehensive way.
Can't you do it well? Can you do a screenshot?
Screenshots.
That's what she's trying to avoid.
Way too small.
One of the things you could try is from the command line in Windows.
Yes.
tree, T-R-E-E,
yes,
space, the pipe command, which is that vertical bar,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and then the word clip.
Ah.
Which theoretically, will print the tree listing and then put it in the clipboard.
Oh.
Then you can just go to a Word document and type Control V, and it should paste it in.
All right.
I found another one on Microsoft. If you go to a window, do a select all. So Control A, select all. Control,
mm-hmm.
Control C, copy.
Mm-hmm.
Open WordPad or whatever,
yes.
and paste. You'll get the entire directory.
There you go.
Yes, I think I've done that. Okay, I guess I was looking for something a little more robust and a little more interactive. Maybe I just need to work harder at understanding the nuances of Directory Opus.
Yeah.
Also, I also found a link at How to Geek on three or four other ways to do it as well. I'm going to post that.
Good. And where will I look for that posting?
On our website at soundbites.org.
Yes. Under what? Which one of your menus?
Right on the front page.
On the front page. Okay, great.
Yeah, if you scroll down on the front page, you'll see latest links heard on the show. And right now, at least, it's the top one.
Good. I will go there right now. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. There's also a way to do it through directory forward arrow file list.
Yeah.
Right, so you could do tree forward arrow file list as well. So dot text, whatever.
Yeah, if you want all the subdirectories too, that gets a little tricky.
Right, right. It's doable. It's just not as easy as it could be. Anyway, that's one way to do that, and I will absolutely check out the Real America, R-E-E-L, thing on Grace Hopper. If you don't know who Captain Grace Hopper is, Admiral. I believe Grace mm-hmm. Hopper is, then you should probably look her up. She was a pioneer in computer science, in mathematics. She found the first computer bug.
A literal moth drawn to the vacuum tube
right.
in the ENIAC.
Mm-hmm. In an ENIAC.
Yeah.
She found the first bug, and that's how she put it in her log.
Yep.
Found a bug in the system.
Well, if you've got like Slinger, that you can copy, have it record on your DVD.
Right, on any of the systems that do recording, I have YouTube TV, and it can it can do the same thing. So yeah, you can absolutely check that out. It sounds like it's going to be great, and Admiral Hopper is just an amazing human being. You have to check her out. Absolutely.
This was originally broadcast or recorded August of 82.
So she was still alive, I think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be pretty cool if they're actually talking to her.
A video provided by the National Security Agency.
Well, yes, that's who she worked for.
Yeah.
They grabbed her up quick.
Yeah.
And she did all the, she did just so much. I mean, if you're not going to watch the thing, at least look at the Wikipedia entry on her. She was amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 59 minutes after the hour. The first hour of this show is over. There's a whole nother hour of this show coming up. That means you got a whole nother hour to pledge in this pledge drive. We've been pretty quiet about that, but we need you to pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl. You can pledge online, and that's how you should be pledging, by the way, at jazz901.org. Text us at 585-205-8887. Text the word GIVE. Or pledge on the app, and we will see you in just a couple of minutes. Go get a beverage, but don't go too far because we got a whole lot more pledging to do.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 50 years on the air in Rochester.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition of second hour of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And we'll totally mess people up in the order that we introduce ourselves. But, hey, we're here to answer your questions for the next hour. But, hey, like Nick has said before, we're in the middle of a fun drive right now, folks. And we need you folks to please pick up the phones and give us a call to make your pledge. We only come twice a year. And we don't ask for a lot. And like we were saying the previous hour, we've been at this station. This is how fast time goes by. And we're getting older, unfortunately. Yeah. But we've been on this station for 15 years. Think about that. It's 15 years. I don't know where the heck it went. Because I still remember the first time we, you know, had that meeting with Rob. And it was over on Winton Road there. And he says, because we had been let go at this other station, and he goes, all right, how soon can you guys start?
That was the first thing he said. We sat down around the table to order.
Didn't even get a chance to order. Yeah.
Get business out of the way first.
Yeah. Yep.
Then we can enjoy lunch.
So how soon can you start? How about, and we gave him a date, I think it was June. It was first Saturday in June, and he goes, okay, let's order. Oh, by the way, you're doing from 12 to 2.
On Saturdays.
Yeah, on Saturdays. And okay. Course,
we knew we weren't getting paid because it's this is all volunteer.
Yeah, and that's the way, you know, stuff. It's been for us folks, you know, again, for 35 years.
So you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Talk to the talented and lovely Cheryl. She will take your pledge and or move you on to us. You can text GIVE to 585-205-8887. You can donate through the app. You can donate online at jazz901.org. Really, you know, there's no reason for you not to donate. You listen to this show, so clearly it has some meaning for you, some usage for you. Mm-hmm. And so we'd like you to help keep this station alive. That's what this is about. Believe me, we're not greedy in the sense that we're expecting to get anything out of this except coming in every Saturday from noon to two. The money you give us keeps this station and therefore this show on the air. I can't tell you how many people stop me everywhere I go with computer questions, and they have computer questions here. And we're happy to answer them, but we can't do it if we're not on the air. So we get on the air by you making a call and making a pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And with very rare exceptions, we have to say the big box stores really don't have that good a support staff. So depending on where you buy your computer, we might be your only hope. We're the only hope. Yeah.
We're your
only hope.
Thank you, Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, there are very few places nowadays to get computer help.
Mm-hmm.
We do this here, and you can join us Sunday nights. At 9 p.m. in the Soundbites Lounge. Go to soundbites.org/lounge at 9 p.m. on a Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time on a Sunday night, and you can join us in the lounge. It is a video call, but you do not have to turn on your camera and mic if you do not want to. You can just lurk. We are perfectly okay with that. But we, you know, again, that's all stuff we do. And you support us by pledging. So make the call, make the pledge while we talk to Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Good afternoon, guys. By the way, I'm a member.
Thank you.
My question is, this is probably for Dave Enright. I've got a Mac 1, and I tried deleting a file from my iMac documents into the trash tray. Every time I delete it, a couple of seconds later, it just shows up. So it said I hadn't downloaded it from, I guess, the drive. So I tried downloading it and deleting it again. It still doesn't go anywhere. So I'm not sure what I'm not doing.
Does the name have a little cloud icon next to it?
Yes.
All right, so that shows that it's only on iCloud and not actually on your computer. But usually clicking the cloud would download it so you can delete it. Are you connected to the internet? Internet working?
Mm-hmm.
And you're signed into your Apple ID. So that may be the thing. A lot of times, if you open your system preferences or system settings on newer versions, there'll be a little thing there saying, please re-verify your Apple ID password. We don't know why it keeps asking, but every now and then it asks again to make sure you're still there and it's still really you doing it.
It's lonely.
Yeah. But it may not continue syncing without having that password put back in again.
Okay. I did not do that. So I will try it now. Yeah,
check to see if it's asking for you to put your Apple ID password back in again.
Okay. Hopefully it will work.
Thanks, Larry.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
You got to turn your mic on.
Bye-bye.
I just turned you
on. Oh, right. I turned it off to blow my nose. Sinus, as I mentioned. All right.
So that kind of goes back to Microsoft and their OneDrive. So Apple has two different cloud syncing systems. One is iCloud Drive, where what you want to put on the cloud, you put in that folder. And then the other is iCloud Desktop Syncing, where everything on your desktop and documents is synced. You can choose how to turn that on or off. Annoyingly, when you turn it off, it wipes everything out of your desktop and puts it into an archive folder. It tells you it does that.
Ouch.
But no one ever reads that message, and we get all these frantic calls. All my stuff disappeared. Did you just turn off iCloud Desktop? Probably because the iCloud drive was full, and you don't want to pay for more storage.
Right. One of the things that I truly love about Google Docs is that if you save things in the Google Docs format, it doesn't count against your storage.
Yeah, that spreadsheets.
And if you upload things to the Google Documents formats.
And convert it.
And again, you're right. It's the word processor, the spreadsheet, the PowerPoint type thing, all of that stuff. It converts it. So I've got 60, 70,000 documents in my Google Docs, in my Google Drive.
Yep.
And it's not counting against my storage. I've still got 14 of my 19 gig free.
Oh, I
got 19 gig because back in the early days, if you did security checks, they gave you a couple extra meg, and I did that a few times.
No, I mean, it's got to be over 20 years now that I've been using the Google Docs because it was just easier. I mean, I could, if I was on a website and I needed that information, it was great because I could sit there, highlight it all, do a copy, quick go over to Google Docs, open up, the tab there, paste it in there, and just label it. Good. Boom. I got it for future reference and not all over the place. It just made life so much easier. And again, like you say, not taking up any space.
Right. All right. China-backed hackers, try saying that three times fast with my nose, have compromised the wiretap systems of several U.S. telecom and internet providers, likely in an effort to gather intelligence on Americans. What are the wiretap systems of several U.S. telecom and internet providers, you may ask? Well, settle down, children, and I'll tell you a story. 30 years ago, in the dim and distant past, the United States government, in their infinite wisdom, God bless them, mandated a not-so-secret wiretap system in the nation's telecom and internet providers' network. This wiretap granted, and I quote, a few select employees, end quote, nearly unfettered access to information about their customers, including their internet traffic and browsing histories. As was absolutely inevitable, those back doors have been hacked, and massive amounts of data about Americans have been stolen. Those of us who've been screaming about this for decades now have now got the biggest I told you so moment in history, but trust me, we never wanted it. A Chinese government hacking group dubbed Salt Typhoon broke into three of the largest U.S. internet providers, including AT&T, Lumen, formerly CenturyLink, and Verizon, to access those wiretap systems, which are normally used to provide customer data to law enforcement and governments. The hacks reportedly may have resulted in the vast collection of internet traffic. That's another quote, vast collection of internet traffic. That's your traffic, by the way. They try to make it sound impersonal. Internet traffic, that's your traffic. The U.S. government's investigation is in its early stages. The goals of the Chinese campaign aren't yet fully known, but I think we can all guess at them. The security community has long advocated against backdoors, arguing that it is technologically impossible to have a secure backdoor that cannot also be exploited or abused by malicious actors. The law says your telecom must make your calls wiretappable unless it encrypts them. I repeat, unless it encrypts them, creating a system that was always a target for bad actors. So what's the solution? More encryption. Oh. Make sure you're using RCS for sensitive text messages. Only go to secure websites for sensitive transactions. Never send any sensitive data over unencrypted email. Encrypt your sensitive documents. Is this a pain in the butt? Yes. Yes, it is. But since the government clearly isn't protecting our data, we have to. How secure are your data? Give us a call on our unencrypted line, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
And every now and then, some congressperson introduces another bill to ban encryption because that's someone likened it to like a 75-inch TV. You know, 4K, you've got millions and millions of pixels on it, but one of the pixels, encryption, is dark. And we need to see that pixel, so we're going to ban encryption. But only so the good guys can see it. Well, it can never work that way. If so someone said, well, don't put a back door in, just put two front doors in. Same thing. If someone else has a key to your house, front door, back door, side door, then you're vulnerable. That other key can get lost or stolen or duplicated.
And we've talked about this recently, as a matter of fact, encrypting email. It is possible. It is a pain in the patoot, but it is possible. And you have a lot of issues with it. For example, does the email program you're using support it? Can you encrypt on an individual basis? So it is, let's say that Steve and I decide to encrypt our email to each other. But I'm also sharing emails with Dave. He doesn't do encryption. Can I set it up granularly so that anything I share with Steve is encrypted, but anything I send to Dave is not encrypted? That's harder still.
Mm-hmm. And the downgrade attack, an email server along the way says, I don't do encryption. You better downgrade that. And it's plain text.
Right.
So the problem is email was designed for plain text. We're trying to add encryption after the fact.
Right. So the way you get around that is you encrypt a file and then send the person the file. But then you have to send them the password in some other method, which is probably also not secure.
All right. If you're wanting to encrypt your email because you think somebody's snooping it, you can't put the password in an email.
Right. Now, these days, because pretty much everybody uses RCS messaging, and RCS is encrypted end-to-end.
Yeah, it has to be turned on.
You have to turn it on.
Yep.
Android people, it's already turned on. Android people, it's on by default.
Only recently, apparently.
Right. Recently, that's true. So if you've got the latest updates to messages.
Now, does it re-encrypt old messages?
No.
So, your old messages still may not be encrypted.
Right. But if I create an encrypted document, if I encrypt a document and send it to Steve, and then I RCS the password to him, and my RCS messaging, my messaging system does encrypted RCS, and his messaging system does encrypted RCS,
mm-hmm.
then that's as secure as you're going to get.
And you don't already have malware on your device that watched you type the message before it encrypted it.
and that the government doesn't have a backdoor into the RCS system on both, in my case, yeah. Google, and in his case, Apple, which it probably does. So, yeah, it really isn't. So what they do is they do different things. For example, WhatsApp, theoretically, again, encrypted end-to-end. Well, we don't know what's happening at the server, but theoretically end-to-end. Also, you can send it to them in the middle of another message. If you have, for example, spoken in person and said, all right, I'm going to send you the password as the fifth word in my text. So then I write a text where the fifth word
is
the password. I don't care who gets it. How are they going to know? Assuming I'm not stupid in crafting that text message. Hi, Steve. Kumquat. How are you? Well, okay. That somebody's got a clue there. But you know, if the password is good and you get it naturally in a sentence, you can get past that.
Or you try to get both people to subscribe to the same encrypted email service, like ProtonMail or one of the other ones.
Right.
So ProtonMail is based in Switzerland, so they don't have to.
Theoretically,
don't have to answer to the U.S. Encryption laws.
Right. Or you run your own mail server and you encrypt that.
Yep.
Then you can be fairly sure, again, what software are you using and has that been compromised?
Did you hear what happened to the CEO of Telegram? Pavel Durov got arrested in France. Because there are bad guys on Telegram using it for bad things.
Right.
It's like arresting the CEO of Frontier because somebody made a naughty phone call.
Right.
So Telegram, which is end-to-end encrypted, had to change a policy saying that they would now respond to government subpoenas and turn over user data before they just thumb their nose at them. And so the CEO got arrested. And apparently, there has been a mass exodus of bad guys from Telegram, which is good.
Which is a good thing.
But it also means that now, you know, they will respond to subpoenas. So if somebody suspects you're bad, they can do it. And then we have the whole problem with abuse of power and someone trying to get into your account because, you know, you're trying to get away from your ex.
Right.
We've seen a lot of stories like that, too, which is very, very difficult to work around.
Yeah. But the reality is that there are a great number of messaging apps out there nowadays. And not all of them are encrypted. And the ones that there are probably have a backdoor. You should read the policy. Almost all of them, including Google and Apple and pretty much everybody else, will in their terms of service say that they follow law enforcement legitimate law enforcement requests mm-hmm. for your data. And that's so that they can continue doing business in the United States, frankly. So, yeah, that's the way that works. So, you know, every app has some problem with security. Either there's none or there's a back door. So, for example, I use WhatsApp. I have one friend on WhatsApp in the Philippines, and that's her normal method of communication with people. She's always used WhatsApp. It's what they use.
And pretty much everyone in the rest of the world uses WhatsApp.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that app on my phone to talk to her, but we're not contemplating sedition. We just, you know, how are you today? Sort of thing. I don't care who knows that.
Same here. I have a friend down in Australia, and that's the way we get, communicate quite a bit.
Remember when Skype was the way you made free international phone calls?
Yeah, yeah.
Poor Skype. Just they had their opportunity, and Zoom just ate their lunch.
Zoom ate everybody's lunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So One of the things, by the way, about WhatsApp is you should look at the privacy settings, because the way they're normally set up is pretty much anybody can see you, anybody can pretend to be your friend, ask for a request. So, but you can set it up so that if they're not in your contact list, you don't exist to them. And that's the way to do it. I've done that for my friend. I used to get a number of requests from really lovely young ladies who could not afford a lot of clothing on WhatsApp, and now they don't see them anymore because I've fixed the security, the privacy settings.
Yeah, spam text is on the rise.
Yeah.
Spam messages, WhatsApp and Telegram and iMessage is on the rise. It's very frustrating.
The first spam message went to Usenet in 1994. And can you guess what the subject was?
Viagra? Cheap mortgage? No.
Jesus Christ is coming.
Ah. Huh?
And that was the very first spam message sent to millions of people on, well, hundreds of thousands of people on Usenet.
Not the early days.
Back in the early days, back when there was
probably
no
got
encryption.
A lot of people to believe it too, and kept waiting for them.
Right,
unsolicited commercial email.
Well, it's not a lie.
Yeah, Hormel Foods is very mad that we picked the word spam.
Yes, it is. Although they are a big supporter of Spam-a-Lot.
Yeah.
They don't like us using spam for unsolicited email. No, what's it called?
Well, usually unsolicited commercial email.
Right.
Sometimes UCE. It's not commercial.
Right. UCE, unsolicited commercial email.
And being able to tell real junk mail from fake junk mail is getting harder and harder and harder.
One of the things that I truly like about Gmail is that their spam filters are excellent.
Yes.
I have a number
of...
They stop
billions of messages a day.
A day.
And still so many get through to me.
Yep. But they, you notice they only get through once.
Yep.
And then they're gone.
And you don't see the same one over and over again. I have a number of different email addresses on a number of different services. And the amount of spam I get on the non-Gmail addresses makes me truly appreciate the very few I get in Gmail. You'd be astounded. It's amazing.
What a lot of what's been happening is the big mail servers are starting to use a reputation flag.
Right.
Steve Gibson on GRC has been talking about his new SpinRite 6.1, which is a free upgrade after 20 years when 6.0 was released. And so he's emailing his entire subscriber base. Some of those email addresses are 20 years old, and so he's been getting a lot of bounces.
Are some of them even alive yet?
in the early days, it was Microsoft and Apple were the biggest bouncers for ancient addresses that didn't work. Somebody wrote in and said, my AOL address that I've had for 20 years did work. So I got your message in my AOL address, as I said, it's tough to tell real junk mail from fake junk mail. But if you get a message that isn't junk and you know it's not junk and it was intended for you, hit that mark junk button, because that tells your mail program to tell the mail server that this wasn't junk, and it helps the reputation of the sender.
Hit the not junk button.
Not junk. Yes.
Yeah.
And if it is junk, mark the is junk.
Right. And that helps all the way around.
But. Yeah. You almost can't unsubscribe anymore because you don't know if that's a real message or fake message. If you unsubscribe from a real message, you'll stop getting those real messages until they buy another list with your name on it.
Somebody
in a day or two.
Right.
But if you unsubscribe from a fake junk mail, you'll get a lot more junk mail because they know you read the message and clicked the button.
Yep. And so you have to be aware of what you're doing these days. We used to recommend unsubscribe. Now we don't. Now we say stick it in your junk folder.
It's too hard for people for regular people to tell the difference between real junk mail and fake junk mail.
Right.
It's so easy to grab a company's logo and put it in their junk mail. So you think that message about the Home Depot sale, yeah, win a free this or that from Home Depot, that's probably junk.
Probably.
Fake junk.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. And make that pledge. Make that pledge now. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Everybody, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
Listen, and I love rock and roll.
I love rock and roll. We'll get back to the phones in just a minute, but I want to thank Sherm from Rochester, who was kind enough to become a member of Jazz 90.1. Yes, we are in a pledge drive. You've got a half an hour to get in on that drive under sound bites today, and it's real easy. If you'd like to talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl, and who wouldn't? 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online if you don't like to talk to people, and you're a computer geek, so you probably don't. So you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. You can text GIVE to our text line at 585-205-8887 for instructions on how to join. And, of course, you can join through the app, the Jazz 90.1 app. And there are multiple levels you can join at, everywhere from $35 to $365 and $1,000 and $10,000 and whatever amount you want to give. And at many of the levels, there is a nice premium, a nice benefit that comes along with it.
A thank you gift.
Shirts and mugs and Tumblr. The Tumblr's great, by the way. I use mine every day now. It keeps my cold drinks cold and my hot drinks hot. I would suggest you give that a look and pick the level that suits your wallet and the thank you gifts that tickle your fancy. And in the meantime, while you're doing that, this is a contract now.
Getting your fancy tickled?
We have an agreement. While you're getting your fancy tickled, we're going to talk to Jerry from Webster, New York. Hi, Jerry. What's up?
Hi, guys. I had called last week. I had a little problem with a camera for my Zoom meetings during the week. And
I tried
putting on that. First of all, it says hide self view, and I clicked on that. It says show self view, which I did. And it doesn't seem to be working. The note when I hit hide or show self view says self view is enabled for the next video to display, but for some reason it doesn't seem to be working. I don't know why.
If you go into the Zoom preferences under the audio video settings, do you see the camera working there? So you can choose what kind. I'm going to open my Zoom here. You can choose what. Quality, backdrop, certain things about your camera settings under video.
Yeah, I did that.
Does it show you your camera there while you're doing it?
Do you see yourself?
No, I don't.
In that area.
There's a choice to pick which camera to use. Maybe it's selected the wrong camera.
Well, I'm in my camera privacy and security web page here. And,
No. In the Zoom app, Zoom preferences or settings.
Okay, let's see here.
Apparently, I have an F-18 Blue Angel sitting behind my picture.
Nice.
Background. Turn off that background. So, you know, that lets you set your video settings. So right now I've got four cameras connected to my machine, and I can pick any one of them to send. And one of them is the OBS virtual camera, which has nothing on it. So that would show up as blank. So you might have a some virtual camera.
Is this still working?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure it's set to the right camera.
Yeah. So the different versions or different cameras you can choose then to zoom in on a meeting, I guess.
Right. And if it's picked the wrong camera, then you're going to see nothing.
Okay, I'll try that this week. Then, yeah. See how that works.
You may also want to check another app, even the Windows camera app, to see if the camera's working at all. Because it may not be a zoom problem, it may be a camera problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, I'll try that.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, again, this is that classic too many choices in too many places.
Yeah.
Which one am I in and which one should I be in?
Yeah.
And I get that. It is it's nice to have multiple choices. It's also annoying at times, and I get that. Yeah. But you got to be in the right place, and in this case, the right place is in the Zoom app itself, rather than anywhere else. So
I heard somebody once talk about a Zoom meeting as an old fashioned seance. Jim, are you there? Yeah. Mary, your mic is muted. We can't hear you, Mary.
If you can hear us, wave.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Back to the phones. Hopefully, Joe from Henrietta can hear us. Hi, Joe. What's up?
Yes, I could hear you. I bought a printer the other day, and I didn't see this notice on the box that it works with Windows and also Macs. Windows 7 to 12, I guess, if it is out there. And I have a Chromebook that I haven't set up yet. Would it work with the Chromebook, too?
It should. Okay. Almost any printer. What printer is it?
It's a Canon. You want the model number?
It's a fairly new Canon, it should work without a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
what should
you.
Happen, theoretically, is that you open up your Chromebook, log in, as long as it's on the same network you are.
Well, back up a step. Is the printer USB or Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi.
Okay. Yeah. So first you have to join the printer to your Wi-Fi using the front panel on the printer.
Or the app.
Or the app, yeah. Some of the cheaper printers don't have a front panel anymore.
Right, so you need to join your network. Once you're on your network, then open the Chromebook, give it a minute or two, and it should find the printer.
Oh. Uh-huh.
No other work needed on your part.
Okay, thank you.
But first you got to make sure that your printer is on your network.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of happened when...
Thanks, Joe.
Welcome.
When Android phones and iPhones came out, typically when you buy a printer, you have to load the driver for that printer. And there's millions of printers and millions of drivers. Well, you can't really load drivers on Android and iPhone.
Right.
So Apple came out with their AirPrint technology, and I forget what Android's is called, but the printers have now built that into the other end. So the device doesn't need a driver anymore.
Right.
Some of them, like Canon, have to use an app. So if the Chromebook doesn't see the printer directly, you may have to install the Canon Print app, and that would be in the instructions for the printer as well.
Right, and you can run Android apps on a Chromebook, so that would do it. That would do it. All right. While you give us a call and pledge at 585-966-JAZZ, it's 966-5299, toll free 800-790-0415, I will read another news item. An announcement In an announcement that should shock none of you, but sadden many of you, Windows 10 continues its inexorable march to obsolescence, which means, according to Microsoft, your old PC should just be tossed out, creating a massive amount of e-waste across the country. Well, Microsoft doesn't put it that harshly, of course, but in a new Windows support document, Microsoft recommends simply buying a new PC to run Windows 11 when Windows 10 support runs out on October 14th of 2025, almost exactly a year from now. those of you still running on Windows 10, be aware you've only got a year.
And if you're running Windows 7, you're long past support.
Yeah, don't get surprised a year from now when you get a notice that says you're out of support. At least you didn't can't say they didn't warn you.
I put in an XP machine the other day, and it was fun. Yeah. I got so many warnings. Support has ended for this on, you know, 1987 or whatever.
Yeah, right, right, right. Of course, you have more options than just creating e-waste. You can always try installing Windows 11 on your current PC anyway. It may work. It won't be supported, but it may work. You can continue to use Windows 10. It won't be supported, and it'll get more and more exploitable as time goes on, but you can just keep using it. Nobody can support you, including us, but you can keep using it. Or you can put some flavor of Linux on it, and it'll remain usable as long as the hardware itself lasts. From Microsoft's point of view, and the point of view of the few PC makers left out there, buying a new PC is the best option. You're guaranteed that Windows 11 will run on it, and you can get warranty support for it. And for those of you who can afford it, this is clearly the best option. For the rest of us, using an unsupported and unsecure operating system or learning Linux are the choices you have. Which choice will you make? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
And for the most part, the biggest visual difference in Windows 11 is the start menu's in the center.
Right.
Yeah.
And that throws people to the extent you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm. It's still got the same Windows logo on it. It's just in the center.
Right.
Same thing happened to Apple 20 years ago when we were first doing Mac OS 10. The Apple logo moved to the center of the screen instead of the left.
Threw people, made them crazy. Yep.
The thing of it is, though, is because they've got no new ideas. Windows is Windows, and there's nothing innovative about it.
You can move it back to the left if you want.
Yeah, well, this is true of every operating system. We're in a place now where there are incremental changes, and while an incremental change is good, I don't want to buy a new version of an operating system to get those incremental changes.
Yeah.
But you need to, because we have to appease our shareholders. We need to sell
that's
more products.
That's the only reason they do it, is like Nick has said for a long time, we don't matter. We're just consumers. It's the shareholders that...
The shareholders are the customers.
Yep.
We're the product.
Yeah, and we're just beta testers for them to drive up the numbers so that the shareholders get bigger profits.
Right. And we have had a couple of more people who have become members of Jazz 90.1. We want to thank Stephen, and we want to thank Greg. Thank you both so much. We appreciate it very, very much. This is we're in the middle of a pledge drive. And again, we only come to you a couple of times a year. Our costs, like everybody else's, have been going up. 99.9% of our costs are in licensing fees and things like that. Like I said, you know, all the DJs here are volunteers. There's no cost saving except for taking things away. We can take away shows. We can take away a stream.
Yeah, streaming. And
we can do that, but we can't make them cheaper. The licensing fees are the licensing fees. And so we need your help. You've been so generous in the past. We need you to continue to be generous. We need you to continue to give. You can make a pledge. Make a donation at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. You'll talk to the lovely and talented Cheryl. And she would be happy to take your pledge, just like she did for Joel. Thank you so much, Joel. We appreciate that. You are remembering. We love that. You can become a member, a renewing member, or just an extra little pledge, which we appreciate. Or remembering, becoming a member after a while. You were a member, it lapsed. And every religion will take you back.
Or a lot of folks, I've heard this countless times. You know, I've run into folks and they go, "You used to be on Soundbites, didn't you?" I go, "Still am."
Yeah.
And they go, "Really? Where'd you guys go?" And I tell them, we're on Soundbites, Jazz 90.1, been there for 35 years. Well, I got to tune into you.
Yep.
So there are people that used to listen to us decades ago and just yep. don't realize, you know, we've hopped for a few different stations in our career.
It's very common in the radio biz when a show gets canceled, they don't tell you where it moved to.
Right. And they get canceled for a lot of reasons. Sometimes, you know, it's because of the show. Sometimes it's because of economics. Yep. And the show is still popular and still continues. And that's why we're here.
You
we know
that?
We're popular and we want to continue for you. So give us a call.
You kind of see that on television, too. A show gets canceled and then ends up on another network. The first network doesn't tell you that, but TV Guide did, or other television reporting companies.
You are old. TV Guide is still around.
My wife still gets the printed copy of TV Guide.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so help us out. That's all we're asking. Help us out. If you go to the website and make the pledge, you'll see that there are multiple levels at which you can give. But there's also an other button. We realize that some people cannot afford a great deal of money. So, you know, if you can give a few bucks is enough. And we will be more than contented with that. So head on over to jazz901.org, click the big red donate now button and be as generous as you can be in these times. We appreciate it. We want to stay on the air. We want to keep giving you these weeks of our time all together where we can share our computer knowledge, but we can't do that without your help. So make the call, make the pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
Well, I guess if stores can do it, we can do it. Make it an early Christmas gift from yourself to us, and you know, keep
to
us,
yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's coming up on the season of giving, and you know, we've always sat there and helped make recommendations and different things that you could get for the holidays. Heck, you can go in 90% of the stores now and see the Christmas wrap and everything else. I know it's up in our store, and it's been up for a few weeks. So it's not like they're not getting you into the Christmas mode and of giving and Thanksgiving coming up. So, you know, open your hearts if you can. We appreciate the folks no matter what amount. You know, no amount is too little. We appreciate it.
And keeps no amount is too big.
Yeah. We love it.
We'd like to thank Dwayne, who for his generous donation. Thank you very much. And, you know, to follow up on this, you can be selfish here.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep this show on the air. We want to keep bringing you this show. Treat yourself. Make the call. Make the pledge. Treat yourself to another year of sound bites. It's easy enough to do. It only takes a couple of minutes, whether you're talking to Cheryl or you're doing it online. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Text GIVE to 585-205-8887. Or
soundbite your name.
Donate through the app, the Soundbites app, which is available for both Android
Jazz
and Apple.
Jazz 91 app.
What? Okay,
the Jazz 90.1 app.
What did I say?
Soundbites.
It's the Soundbites app today.
Get writing that right now.
I got nothing else to do for the next 15 minutes.
Yep.
I could do. Well, look at that. My phone, my watch locked. I don't know why, but yeah. So give yourself a gift this season. Become a member, and we'd love to have you as part of our family. So it's easy enough to do.
And if you don't have the app, you can search in the Google App Store or the Google Play Store, even though it's not a play.
Right.
Well, I guess it is. You're playing music.
You play.
Or the Apple App Store. Search for Jazz 901.
Right.
And it will find it.
And we'll talk to James from Rochester, New York, while you do that. Hi, James. What's up?
Hi, Nick, Dave, and Steve. I'm a lifelong member. My question is, I had Kaspersky, and Dave offered Bitdefender. Is that a good replacement for the all-in-one, including everything? That's what I used to have with Kaspersky.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, yeah, so Kaspersky was basically outlawed by the U.S. government because they just happened to be a Russian company. And they got in trouble a couple of weeks ago when they exited the U.S. market. They partnered with another company. It wasn't BitLocker from the
store. Bitdefender.
Bitdefender. It wasn't them. It was somebody else. And they uninstalled Kaspersky and installed this other program with not very clear notice that was happening. And so millions of Windows users woke up one morning and had a completely different antivirus program, thought it was a virus, and started panicking because they couldn't find Kaspersky anymore. But yeah, Bitdefender is also a very good one for Windows as well.
Interestingly, they went from a Russian company, Kaspersky, to Bitdefender, which is a Romanian company.
Oh, yeah?
Clearly better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yes, Bitdefender does have a version called Total Security.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the one they gave you, then you're getting essentially everything you had
before.
And right now,
go ahead.
I was going to say, and right now, for the other people who want to take a look at it, Bitdefender, one account, five devices, normally $109.99, $110. Currently, 45% off for $60.
So that's a good choice, then, correct?
It's a decent choice. They're a good company.
Mm-hmm.
And they work on Windows, Mac, Android, iOS.
Because I never had a problem with the Kaspersky for 10 years.
Yeah, nobody did. They have one of the best research labs, too. We're always talking about Kaspersky found this new thing or that new thing. It's purely xenophobia. The Russian government could influence the company. Well, yeah, I hope everyone outside of the U.S. starts banning McAfee and Symantec because the U.S. government could enforce them to do something.
Right. So, yes, it's really more security theater than it is security.
Pango was the one that Kaspersky went to.
But Bitdefender is a good product.
Yeah, unfortunately, politics played into this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I am a member, and I always continue to be. As you know, I call a lot.
We appreciate that, James. Thank you so much.
Have a great evening.
You too. Yeah. yeah, we get it. Bitdefender was, Kaspersky was people's product of choice for many years, and it was a very good choice. Bitdefender also a very good choice. Pango, not one I'm very familiar with, but
they're big in Europe.
Yeah, I'm big in Europe.
Yeah.
So, I would suggest that. If you find yourself suddenly waking up to Bitdefender one day, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. That's not a problem.
So their notice was an email they sent that said, you know, due to this and that, we have to exit the market, but you'll still be protected.
Right.
They didn't explain what the protection was going to be. They didn't explain it was going to happen automatically. Not quite very clear there.
Yeah, right. Clear as mud.
Yeah.
Well, and that's you know, when you don't involve marketing people, when you don't involve security people, when you leave it to the engineers, the information they gave you was technically 100% correct.
Which is the best kind of correct.
Which is the best kind of correct. Yeah, so that's a thing that you have to be aware of. If you are using Kaspersky, you will wake up to Bitdefender, and it's a good product. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it. It's got its good features. So you might want to not worry about that at all. Don't forget, we've got a few seconds left to remind you that you can still become a member. You can always vote online. Yeah, vote. You can always join online and scroll down, and one of the choices for who you're joining for is Soundbites. That will be available all week for the many hundreds of you who download the podcast. Now's your chance to step up, so please do. You've still got time to give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 800 7900415. But it's better to pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in, but I more particularly want to thank everybody who pledged today. Thank you all so very, very much. We are so honored and so privileged that you care enough about us and about this station to keep us on the air. Keep those dollars coming in. Like I said, you can pledge all week long. You can pledge every day if you want to. And let Soundbites be the beneficiary of that when you do it online. For Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. It's 58 minutes after the hour. We will see you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?